So today is January 9th, 2022, and you're going to be hearing the Bathrop Spears Broadside Show in a moment. This is sort of a brief prequel, kind of, to the show. It's a series of very brief segments from the Zoning Administrator's hearing, which I've written about on Santa Cruz Indie Media, and I wanted to make sure people got access to this since there is a zoning hearing that is going to be repeated on the 12th. And you're going to be hearing me mention this again very shortly, probably several times. Not because the zoning hearing is that important. I think it's a predetermined conclusion coming up. The staff kind of has all its duckies in place and is proceeding to ratify the oversized vehicle ordinance regardless of any criticisms. But they do mention the zoning administrator, who I think is Linda Hatcher, but it's a little hard to hear her, and it's not really clear who she is for me from the audio. But you're going to hear some of the substance of the comments, some of the comments by Mike Ferry, who's the city's point man in pushing the OVO, or trying to okay its, get it past the Coastal Commission, the local Coastal Commission permit. You're not going to hear a lot. I'm going to try to play more of this in an audio, which I'm going to post on Santa Cruz Indie Media. So you, if you want to hear more, it's not necessarily that illuminating, but, you know, if you want to be more complete and prepare, perhaps, for the upcoming Wednesday, January 12th hearing, which is coming up in a few days, if you're listening to this on the 9th.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the City of Santa Cruz Zoning Administrator meeting of January 5th, 2022. I'm Samantha Hashard. I'll be the Zoning Administrator this morning. Mike Ferry is here as well. So now we're on to the public hearing portion. We have three items on the agenda. We'll give a brief description of what's being considered and then open the public hearing. The applicant will be invited to speak first, and we're interested to see if you've had a chance to review the staff report and the conditions of approval and if you have any questions or concerns. Then if there's anyone from the general public that would like to speak, they will be invited to speak next. If necessary, the applicant will have a chance to provide any rebuttal at the end. And then we'll close the public hearing and we'll render a decision. Our decisions are appealable to the Planning Commission within 10 days of the action. The first item on the public hearing agenda is the Oversized Vehicle Ordinance and Safe Parking Programs. This is project number CP21-0174. This is application for a coastal and design permit to amend the municipal code pertaining to the parking of oversized vehicles and to implement citywide safe parking programs for unhoused city residents living in oversized vehicles licensed and registered in the City of Santa Cruz. This project requires a coastal permit, which is appealable to the Coastal Commission after all possible appeals are exhausted through the city. This application was reviewed by Planner Mike Ferry. Note a few things, but I saw Mike's hand was up. Mike, did you have a statement to make?
Yeah, I was just going to say that this can be appealed directly to the Coastal Commission. The City Council's already approved the ordinance citywide, so right now we're looking at a coastal permit implemented in the zoning district. So any appeal of the ZA decision would go straight to the Coastal Commission.
Okay, great. Thank you for the clarification.
And my comment on that is that I think Mike later claimed that you could do both appeal to the Planning Commission and appeal to the Coastal Commission, though it's not quite clear if you have to wait to have your appeals to the Planning Commission and your appeal to the, which can then be appealed to the City Council, turned down, as no doubt there likely would be, certainly by the City Council. But it might be an opportunity for educational process there. And the Planning Commission may have some dissenting voices, it's possible, which might further educate the community.
So this application is specifically to allow for changes to parking requirements for oversized vehicles in the coastal zone. And so it's to amend the provisions of the overnight parking permit, to allow for oversized vehicles to be parked on the street in front of residences for limited periods of time, and to allow for the implementation of a three-tiered safe parking program in the coastal zone. The application is based on a policy that was considered by the City Council at the October 26, 2021 City Council meeting in response to an increased number of oversized vehicles that were parked on city streets, particularly on the west side, and the associated negative impacts, including things like illegal dumping of trash, discharge of raw sewer into the sewage into the storm drain, and a variety of increased criminal activity. From the staff report, it looks like the there's been substantial community input on this issue since 2013. In 2021, an ad hoc committee was established to work with staff and the community on this issue. That is made up of the current mayor, Bruner, council member Kalantari Johnson, and council member Golder. So my role today is not to review the program as a whole or, you know, its effects on homelessness or its effects on those living in their vehicles. This is a very focused review on the parking of oversized vehicles in the coastal zone. And so we'll need to determine if the provisions of the program are sufficient to be able to make the findings for approval of a coastal permit and a design permit.
Of course, the Coastal Commission itself ruled that the relevance of criminalization of the homeless was one of its main reasons for not approving the 2015-2016 ordinance, which Rochelle Narayan and the City Council put before them, and which I appealed. It was because I appealed it that it went before them. And so she is essentially ignoring one of the two prongs based upon which the Coastal Commission as a body rejected the city's ordinance at that time, which was, the second one was a crime problem. They did not present any crime stats, and the first one was they did not present any storage stats. And actually there is a third, and this is the one I was referencing a moment ago, which is homelessness, which is to say, it seemed from the comments of a number of members of the Coastal Commission, they were concerned this was a law designed to gentrify and discriminate, and lacked adequate justification and denied coastal access to the public generally with that underlying intent in mind. And I encourage people to look up the Coastal Commission's decision and dialogue. I have not been able to find it yet, although I haven't looked very deeply, and there's plenty of time to do that before the appeal either is formally put together, because that's 10 days after either the Planning Commission and the City Council reject it, or this body rejects it. So, here's more.
The staff report notes that some of those provisions include limitations on oversized vehicle parking times, restrictions on parking locations, trash and sewage management, requirements for the city to provide restroom and hand washing stations at these parking locations. I'll also note that oversized vehicles are those that are equal to or greater than 20 feet long, or greater than or equal to 8 feet tall and 7 feet wide.
You'll also notice this is a few moments ago. The zoning administrator suggests that this is sort of an allowance of people to park their vehicles. Right now, there are no restrictions other than permit parking requirements in some sections of the city and the 72-hour storage law. So this would be essentially a total ban on the parking of so-called oversized vehicles unless you have a permit, and permits are available only to residents and people connected with residents. So it's kind of misleadingly stated by the zoning administrator. Maybe she doesn't quite understand it, or maybe she does and is candy coating it.
And the oversized vehicle ordinance would not permit these types of vehicles to park on the street in the coastal zone between the hours of 12 a.m. and 5 a.m. without a temporary permit. It is my understanding that city staff has had many conversations with the Coastal Commission staff.
And the temporary permits would only be for very limited periods of time. I think you can get six of them for a year over I think it's a period of 2 weeks. I could be wrong about that particular time frame, but it doesn't cover at all longer periods of time throughout the year. It essentially privatizes spaces in the coastal zone for those who are residents in the city, or I guess hotels also have some kind of exceptions.
And that this application was actually continued from the 12/15 zoning administrator meeting to allow for further conversations with Coastal Commission staff. City staff have sought to address the Coastal Commission staff's concerns through the proposed limitations that are reflected in the conditions of approval.
And the Coastal Commission staff locally has sort of been in bed with the city staff and the folks who are trying to put together this ordinance. The city council, in this case, Rochelle Naroyan, 6 years ago, to essentially criminalize RVs that aren't modern, up-to-date, well-groomed, and to make it essentially... it's a way of dealing with vehicles that people don't want in their neighborhoods, and they don't really have good reason to get rid of them under existing law. That is, there is no real crime problem, so they have to create one, and that's what this ordinance is about. That was one of the concerns of the full Coastal Commission. It is not mentioned at all by the zoning administrator. And in the conferences between the city staff and the local Coastal Commission staff, I think Ryan Maroney is his name, I wasn't, of course, present for those conversations, but my attempt to get that local Coastal Commission to essentially enforce the ruling of the broader state commission that when we were finding that the deputies and city officials were continuing to give people tickets and harass people who, even though they were in the coastal zone, even though there was no such ordinance on the books that justified that kind of harassment, Maroney would kind of throw up his hand and say, well, we're not really an enforcement agency. We can't really do much. We'll talk to them. We'll see what we can do. And it essentially ended up doing nothing, as far as I could see. Although they're very amiable and sociable and responsive in terms of verbal and email interactions. But, of course, that doesn't help the people that are getting harassed by the authorities around these issues, in spite of the Coastal Commission's decision in 2016, in spite of the lack of law that actually is on the books and okayed by the Coastal Commission, which current bans are not. And this, of course, is going to be another one of those bans that's coming on through.
Mike, did you want to add anything on this item?
No, you covered it all pretty good. We did work pretty close with the Coastal Commission staff on the conditions of approval and the description of the safe parking program in the coastal zone.
The so-called safe parking program, of course, at least for many who are looking for safe parking, or for some, is sort of a joke. Alicia Kuhl was unable to get into the program. Others have had problems doing so. Even the person who runs the Association of Faith Communities safe parking program as it currently exists in its limited form has stated he's gotten no assistance from the city and contradicted the testimony of the staff at the actual hearing of the OVO law. And a lot of these are predictions about what, if you look at the staff's report, it's what they intend to do. They intend to have vehicular places for people to park. There tend to be a three-tier program. This program does not currently exist. And the idea that you should proceed when there is no such program is, it seems to me, an attempt to sneak past the requirements that the Coastal Commission already stated in 2016. Now, maybe there's a new Coastal Commission. Maybe there's new membership. Maybe they become more reactionary or conservative on this issue in the sense of moving in concert to the interests of property owners who are anxious, privileged, and, frankly, prejudiced. But that doesn't really meet with the previous statements of the Coastal Commission. And so I regard it as a form of, frankly, a form of corruption, that they're being corrupted by the wishes of the city staff, regardless of the dictates of the broader Coastal Commission.
Okay, great. We have received public correspondence on this item. I received 4 emails, one from Robert Norris on behalf of the Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom group, from Barbara Fields, from Nan Louise Wolf, and from Marcia Heath. And then we also received 6 comments submitted through the website, the city's website.
Also, there was supposedly a hearing in December on this issue, which nobody I heard about, and all of us, many of us are concerned about the OVO ordinance, ever heard that it was actually happening. I was not informed. I requested both of Ryan Maroney of the Coastal Commission development staff and also of, I think, Barbara Bush, the city administrator, that I be informed of these hearings, and I didn't get informed. Could be mistaken about the Bush thing, but in any case, the idea that there's adequate public comment when no one's heard about it in the midst of a pandemic and no real notice has been given out is a serious deficiency.
It looks like many of those comments were in support of the city providing supportive homeless services, which appears to be what this application is intended to address. Through the supportive services component. There were also concerns raised about the prohibition on street parking for oversized vehicles between the hours of 12 a.m. to 5 a.m. Robert Norris noted that the ordinance is inconsistent with the coastal development permit findings in that it eliminates nighttime views of the coast and coastal access for oversized vehicles between the hours of 12 a.m. and 5 a.m., also that it does not provide facilities for dealing with toxic runoff, and that the 30 parking spaces have not yet been identified and is optimistic, and that regulating oversized vehicles is discriminatory.
Now, she says and mentions a lot more of what I say than I had expected her to, but she doesn't mention, again, the key points about what the broader Coastal Commission has found. And that to some extent should, if not determine, at least influence her decision. Because why waste cities' time and money on these appeals if the Coastal Commission has already ruled that these certain standards, adequate storage, adequate stats about crime, impact on homelessness in terms of actual real facilities, has to be addressed in some way. And that... she doesn't mention at all, really.
So these are the concerns I've heard today. Again, I'm looking at the application from the perspective of compliance with the coastal development permit and design permit findings. So we'll go ahead and open the public hearing. If the applicant's present, please feel free to unmute yourself and speak now, and then we'll open the public hearing to other members of the public. I see that Brian Borguno is here. Brian, are you the applicant on this application?
Hey, I guess I can be considered the applicant, as this is the City of Santa Cruz making the application, and, you know, in coordination with the city manager's office.
Your
have
hand
any
has been
comment.
Raised.
I think you covered most of the considerations here for this application.
Okay, and then just for the record, Brian, you've had a chance to look at the conditions of approval and have no concerns with those?
Correct. The conditions of approval included myself and Mike Ferry and coastal staff in working on codifying those in a way that everybody was agreeable.
So for those really interested, there are 27 conditions of approval, some of which don't apply, but I tried to go through a lot of them sort of one by one in a letter to the zoning administrator. Yeah, I think you can find these conditions if you go online, if you want to, You want to make your concerns known about this, but be advised that, of course, this is not something that the zoning administrator is likely to pay much attention to, in my view. I think she's working far too closely with the city and her colleagues and the staff, and so it might be helpful, I guess, at some future appeal level.
Public hearing to any other members of the public. If you wish to speak, please press star 9 to raise your hand. And
your hand has been lowered.
Allow you to unmute yourself.
Your hand has been raised.
Was there something you wanted to add?
Yeah, technically the appeal process can go because it's a new design permit and a coastal permit. So if somebody wanted, they could appeal it to the Planning Commission and then ultimately to the City Council. However, both of those groups have already approved this ordinance. So instead of going through that process, paying the appeal fees, going up through the administrative, they could go straight to the Coastal Commission and there would not be a fee involved. Is that clear? I know it's kind of confusing, but...
Yes, thank you. That's clear to me. Maybe we can repeat that at the end if it appears there's...
And indeed, it's not entirely clear. I actually requested it in a separate email to know whether there's a cost for appealing to the Planning Commission, what the deadlines are, whether there's a waiver for people who are indigent because maybe somebody in a vehicle wants to appeal it. I did get a call from Alicia Cool who wanted to know about appeal procedures and how that could be done. That supposedly is one of the reasons they're holding a second hearing on the 12th. Or redoing their the hearing from the 5th on the 12th.
Questions that come up during the public comment period.
Okay. Sorry about the confusion.
All right. So if you wish to speak, please raise your hand, and the clerk will call on you and ask you to unmute yourself.
Your hand has been lowered. Your hand has been raised.
Caller ending in 0249, please unmute yourself.
Good morning. My name is Carol Paul-Hamis, and I'm calling today on behalf of the Westside Neighbors, which is an organization of approximately 3,000 members living on predominantly the lower west side. As you have noted in the staff report and also in your report today, the lower west side has been disproportionately impacted by some of the negative impacts of oversized vehicle parking. We're very much in support of the changes reflected in the oversized vehicle ordinance before you, and we also support the idea of establishing safe spaces parking in the city. Thank you very much.
Of course, that's all pretty vague, and the issue has always been when we took the matter to the broader Coastal Commission in 2016, what are the specifics? Where are the particular places people can park that are in the coastal area nearby? Where are the actual stats that show real crime by people in vehicles that require such a total ban, unless you have a permit, in the coastal zone at night, at least from the hours of midnight to 5? Then Assistant City Manager Scott Collins, making his presentation, could not provide those stats. He did not have them, and the Coastal Commission voted 11-1 that they would not rubber stamp this without considering it a substantial issue. And of course, Carol is not bringing this up, nor did the zoning administrator, Linda Hatcher.
Thank you. If anyone else would like to speak, please.
The host would like you to unmute your microphone. You are unmuted.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can.
How much time do I have to speak?
You have about 3 minutes to speak.
Okay, thank you. I'm Robert Norris of HUF, as you mentioned before, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. This OVO ordinance really doesn't meet the requirements of the local coastal development plan. You can read more, and you probably have, in my extensive specifics, which I sent you separately. But the nub of the issue really is the failure of the city staff to provide RV storage and access to the coast, and also evidence of a real crime problem in RVs.
Now, this is exactly why the full Coastal Commission, 11-1, voted in the summer of 2016, which isn't mentioned in your report so far, when they came to Scotts Valley here, rejected its own staff's report to approve the OVO then, and why it is likely to do so again now. The staff documentation, it has the same deficiencies, though it's dressed up with hopeful expectations and good intentions about a so-called safe parking program, which doesn't currently exist, for the majority of unhoused vehicular residents, as I think you may have mentioned it or referenced that in to some extent. Much less does it meet the needs of travelers and tourists. City Council didn't reach out to service providers and to homeless advocates to find out the actual situation and its impact on those outside, which, of course, is my concern and why I bring it to you, and why I brought it to the Coastal Commission in 2016 and received the essentially the negative report. They said it was a substantive question and they couldn't be answered, and the city did nothing for 6 years and now it's doing this, which doesn't seem to be doing much. The assertion that there will be such facilities, as I said before, is insufficient. Adequate storage space concern is exactly what it was in 2016, staff rhetoric notwithstanding, as you can find by looking and comparing the staff reports. There's also a lack of police stats showing something other than complaints and calls for service. Westside property owners may falsely fear those in RVs as some sort of criminal element, but we all have a need and a right to coastal access. You can certainly look at what I've written. And there's also the issue of the property values, which I'm sure they're concerned about, and I can understand that if were I a property owner on the west side. But that cannot overrule the need to have access by all to the coast. Look at what I've written. Don't embarrass city staff when they go before the Coastal Commission again in an appeal, which I certainly will be doing, and I'm not sure if we'll be going before the Planning Commission and the City Council. As you pointed out, it seemed kind of useless, but it'd be useful for you to point out what the deadlines are for this, by the way. And save everyone, however, if you can find this, send it back to the City Council staff to really work on substantive issues that were raised.
Caller, you have about 30 seconds.
Thank you. By the Coastal Commission at that time in 2015. And also, of course, recognize that we're in the middle of a pandemic that would urge caution before you dump people on the street, which is what will happen as a consequence of this kind of restrictive ordinance. Thanks for listening.
You are muted.
Thank you, Robert. And yes, we did receive your comments. If anyone else would like to speak, please raise your hand now.
It doesn't look like we have anyone else, Sam.
Okay. Given the number of participants, I might just wait another minute or two. If anybody would like to speak on this item, please feel free to press star 9 now to raise your hand. Do you see anybody?
I do not.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and close the public hearing then. I want to thank
you are
members
muted.
Of the public for participating. I do hear the concerns that were raised both via written comment and at the hearing today.
Sam, it does look like we have someone.
Okay.
I actually was just going to let you know that the website, when I first tried to get into this meeting, it the address on your website is not the one to get into this meeting. It says that it's a broken Zoom meeting, and I don't know if that's affecting anything. The one on the agenda is correct, but the one on the website for the zoning administrator meeting is incorrect. I don't know if it's possible to fix that during the meeting in case anyone wants to join for other things. Just I thought I should let you know that. And also, I do support the...
Thank you. Let's go ahead and check that. Rachel, could you check the Zoom link on the website?
Yeah, let me take a look.
Ordinance and support allowing people to talk. Sorry.
I think that I clicked seem to be working. This was on the zoning administrator page on our website. I'm not sure if that was the same link.
Rachel, so just to clarify, the Zoom link is working on the website?
It did work for me, yes.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and move forward then. We'll close the public hearing. hearing. Mike, you have your hand raised. Did you want to add something?
Yeah, I just mentioned the appeal period.
Right, go ahead. The deadlines for appeal?
Yeah, that's one of Robert's concerns.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and close the public hearing. Like I was saying, I do hear the concerns that were raised in written comments and in the public meeting today. In reading through the staff report, I do think that this proposal is intended to balance the limitations on parking with the alternative parking options that are eligible for oversized vehicles, and that will allow for that those options will allow for coastal access and access to restrooms and things like hand washing, and at certain sites access to supportive services and mobile dump stations. I do agree with the findings for approval that were provided by staff and with the associated conditions of approval that appear to provide sufficient safeguards to coastal resources, like limitations on hours to allow for coastal access and trash enclosures. Mike, could you confirm the deadline for appeal on this? I believe it's 10 calendar days from today.
Right. So the 10-day appeal period is calendar days.
Right, so that would be January 17th would be the final day to appeal to the Coastal Commission. And so I want to thank everyone for participating, and I'll go ahead and take action to acknowledge the environmental determination and approve the application subject to the findings and conditions provided by staff.
And that was the item of the OV ordinance on the zoning administrator's hearing. Again, the deadlines and requirements to either appeal to the Planning Commission and or the Coastal Commission aren't really as clear as they could be, and when I made the request later in an email to Mike Ferry, I got this, essentially the notice he sent out to all of us who are interested in this OVO hearing, that this would be discussed or clarified at the next hearing, which is again on the 12th. That would be this coming Wednesday, and I believe it's at 10 a.m. Again, it's Zoomed, so you have to go through that process and maybe run into the same problems. Who knows? I did cut out a lot of space where she, Linda Hatcher, waited for people to get in touch, and of course they apparently didn't to some extent, perhaps because of links. I believe that one of the women who called in was Joy, who tried to clarify that she opposed the ordinance, but she didn't, perhaps partially because of my editing and partially because she was sort of rushed, and she, I don't know if you made that entirely clear. So anyway, now we get into the main portion of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. There is a flashback to April 4th, I believe it is 2004, at the end of the three-hour main show, and that is something you can check out. I will not have a description of it available until later today if you're listening to this on Sunday the 9th. Kind of got bushwhacked by weariness, and it's going to take me a little while to put it together, but hopefully I will. You can find it eventually on the Huff website, and I'll also be putting it out to if you're on the Huff email list. So enjoy the show. If you have questions, give me a call at 831-423-4833.